Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Bennett, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is August 17, 2014, or it's 8/22/2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Bringing in the Sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. Bring it in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bring it in the sheep. Sow it in the sunshine, sow it in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. Lying by the harvest, then the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, going forth with weeping. Sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieved. When our waiting's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Bring it in the sheep, bring it in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bring it in the sheep. Okay, we're going to continue now. City of David, Part 4. We're dealing with the letter that I wrote to Rollis W. Johnson in response to the letter that he wrote to me of my excommunication, and so I'm answering his accusations. And I'm on page 20 of this accusation. And it says, Caleb was not a prophet. There was no prophetic interval for him, neither a divine commission, other than being a warrior. Now, Brother Jonathan, y'all all been out of shape one day when I said he kept insisting that we remember that he was antithetical Joshua, the son of Nun, that succeeded Moses at the end of the 40 years wilderness wandering, and that he took the children of Israel over into the promised land. And so Brother Johnson, believing and teaching that he was antithetical Joshua, the son of Nun, and that he was going to take the children of Israel over into the promised land in 1974. And he said he had the prophecies from Ellen G. White and B.T. Hoffman to back up his prediction. Well, it says Brother Johnson, I'm going to read to you on page 19 that when he's talking about this Caleb. He says Caleb was not a prophet. And he said, because I said to brothers, I said, well, if you're Joshua the son of Nun, then I'm antithetical Caleb, simply meaning a capable helper. I'm just your helper. But if you have been identified as antithetical Joshua, the son of Nun, then I'm antitypical Caleb. And I never thought no more about it. And here Brother Johnson with this letter that he's writing to me, and he's stating all the reasons why he's dismissing me. So he says, Denton turned his sight upon my family, the house of David. I'll read a little bit earlier. He said, we'll be reading through 1 Kings 13, 1 to 33. Verse 1. And behold, there came a man of Yahweh. Brother Shanti said God, but, you know, he reverted back to his old self again. He used that Yahweh for, you know, and he's going to use it some here in this page that he's writing to me here that I'm fixing to read to you. But whenever he says God or Lord, I'm going to say God and Lord, show you how he used it indiscriminately. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And this we see King Jeroboam standing by the altar at Bethel, which he had built to burn incense on. Coming unto him from Judah was a man of Yahweh, verse 2. And he cried against the altar and the word of Yahweh, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by the name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. Herein it is seen that the man of Yahweh cried out against the altar, saying, by the word of Yahweh, that a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah, and that he would offer the priest of the high places upon this altar at Bethel, and that men's bones would be burned upon that altar. And that altar at Bethel now, that's Jeroboam, the king of the 10 tribes of Israel in the north. And he says, a human sacrifice is, mind you, verse 3. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And he sealed the promise with a sign that there would be ashes of human bones upon the altar to be poured out. Verse 4. And it came to pass when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of Eliam, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again unto him. When the king Jeroboam put forth his hand to stop the man of Yahweh, it dried up. Verse 5. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according unto the sign which the man of Eliam had given by the word of the Yahweh. Now, keep in mind that Brother Johnson is making a distinction here about these two prophets here in 1 Kings 13. 1 to 33. First, we read about the young prophet from Judah. Now, that's the part that I fulfill, is this young prophet from Judah. Now, I know it goes on to say that the young prophet from Judah ended up dying because he believed the lie of the old prophet. But when Brother Johnson wrote me that letter of excommunication, he made all those charges against me. My wife asked me what I thought about it, and I said, I don't believe a bit of it. It's all a bunch of lies. I know it. I know it's not the truth. And so I'm not even going to acknowledge it. I'm not going to even think anything about it. And then one night, my wife and I were on a trip. Of course, she came to me and said, because you didn't believe the lie of the prophet, Brother W. Johnson, you don't have to die. But if I had believed his lie that he made it for me, then I would have had to die. Instead, Brother Johnson, the old line prophet, he died because he believed the lie that his wife had put to him back in 1976 about me. She made up a blatant lie, and he believed it, and he tried to get me to acknowledge it for 20 years, and I wouldn't do it. He came to me finally and said, "Well, are you going to acknowledge it or not?" I said, "My wife told me you're still talking about the same thing." And I said, "Well, she's a pathological liar, and if you don't do something about this and put a stop to this, it's going to bring you all down." And sure enough, it did. So Brother Johnson ended up being the old lying prophet that not only told a lie to the young prophet from Judah, but he also believed a lie, this antitypical one, from his wife, Brother Johnson. Okay? So now, we're dealing with this now. Right now we're dealing with this here young man from Judah, the prophet from Judah. Said the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according unto the sign which the man of Elohim had given by the word of Yahweh. And the king answered and said unto the man of Elohim, "Entreat now the faith of the Yahweh thy Elohim, and pray for me, and that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of Elohim besought the Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and they came as it were before. A miracle was performed in the restoration of the king's hand. Verse 7. And the king said unto the man of Elohim, "Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." It is here and seen that the king asked the man of Elohim to come home with him to refresh himself and to receive a reward for what he had done for the king. Verse 8. And the man of Elohim said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place." Yahweh commanded, Brother Johnson said, Yahweh, Y-H-V-A-H, commanded his prophet, not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way that he came. Verse 9. For so was it charged me by the word of Yahweh, saying, "Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." Yahweh commanded his prophet not to eat bread, nor to drink water, nor to return by the same way that he came. Verse 10. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Thus it is shown that he obeyed Yahweh by not returning to the same way that he came from Judah to Bethel. Verse 11-14. Now there dwells an old prophet in Bethel. Now keep in mind, Bethel is in the north of Jerusalem. It's up there close to Samaria. It's in that area where the ten tribes had their capital, where they had their temple. They're in Samaria and Ephraim. And so this old prophet in Bethel would represent the prophet that's in charge of the ten tribes of Israel, being a prophet for the ten tribes of Israel, and not a prophet for the two tribes from Judah. Okay? And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel. Now, Brother Johnson represents this old prophet in the antitype. This proves itself out. I'm going to show it to you. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also unto their father. And their father said unto them, "What way went he?" And for his sons had seen what way the men of Elohim went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, "Saddle me the ass." So they saddled him the ass, and he rode their own, and went after the man of Yahweh, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, "Art thou the man of Elohim that came is from Judah, and he said, I am. And this was the beginning of the end. Okay, so now this is the beginning of the end for the man of Yahweh, verse 15. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. The man of Yahweh is now face to face with the test of obedience. A tough decision, only if he forgets Yahweh's words to him. Notice, he is a straightforward answer to the old acclaimed prophet in the following scriptures. Okay. Now, it says, I've got it typed here. Where is the antitype question? The old acclaimed prophet was a false prophet. Verse 16. This is actually Brother Johnson. He's asking the question, where is the antitype? The old prophet, the old acclaimed prophet was the false prophet. Okay. Verse 16, and he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me by the word of Yahweh, thou shalt eat no bread and nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. From this we see the man of the Yahweh standing true and to Yahweh's command not to listen to nor obey the voice of another, even though he claims that Yahweh spoke to him, saying, to tell the prophet his message is from Yahweh. Verse 18 and 19. This is in 1 Kings chapter 13 now. He said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Where is the antitype? The old acclaimed prophet was the false prophet, but he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. In this we see that the old prophet claiming to be a true prophet, just like the man of Elohim, he claimed that an angel spoke to him, but he lied. And in spite of Yahweh's words, the man of Yahweh returned with the old lion prophet to his house and did eat bread and drink water. Now, what are we finding out here? Did you know that as I read 1 Kings chapter 13? Now, let's look at this here. False prophet, Rhoda Johnson is talking about here in 1 Kings chapter 13. You know, I looked in the Strong Concordance dictionary, and I looked up the word false, and it's only mentioned one time. And it's only mentioned one time in the Book of Kings, the Second Kings, only mentioned one time. It's not mentioned at all in the book of 1 Kings. It's only mentioned one time in the book of 2 Kings. And Yahweh told me, he said, go to Matthew 5, 17 and 18. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then it says in Revelation 22, it said, if any man add to or take from anything in this book of Revelation, for instance, add to or take from. So, you know, you can be a lying prophet and still be a true prophet. Balaam was hired out for filthy lucre by the king of Moab to go and curse Israel. And his intention was to thoroughly get the job done. But every time he opened his mouth, he prophesied only what Yahweh wanted him to say. And he made a most elegant prophecy there in Numbers about Yahshua and the day star here in these last days arising. And he was a true prophet, but he died in the siege of Israel when Moab succeeded in sending his harlot women among the children of Israel and seducing their priests. And it caused Israel to go into sin, and it weakened them. And they had to go into battle against the king of Moab. And Balaam was the first one to die in the battle. Okay, and he was a priest. And a prophet. He was a true prophet. But he ended up being a bad prophet, but not a false prophet. Even false prophets, they start out as true prophets. Always start out as true prophets. You don't have a false prophet that is born a false prophet. I don't believe. I've never heard of one, and if I may be mistaken. But now, here at Brother Johnson, he starts bringing this here. Old acclaimed prophet was a false prophet. Well, where did Brother Johnson get the authority to say that this old acclaimed prophet was a false prophet when the Bible didn't say it? So this is adding to and taking from. I don't care how you measure. This is the shows no inspiration at all. Alright? But he surely liked to harp on the fact that the true prophet was from Judah. And the false prophet from, and yet that false prophet, Brother Johnson claimed that deceived this prophet from Judah. He says, he claimed that I'm a prophet just like you are, he said. Well, that old prophet was a prophet just like the young prophet from Judah. He was a prophet. He didn't say I'm a false prophet. He said, I'm a prophet just like you are. Well, let's go on. Comments from Prophets and Kings, page 105. This is by Denton Brunken now. To page 107. And then I put in there, the way it was written, the Lord seeks to save, but not to destroy. Apparently I didn't edit this here. This is a rough copy because I have since edited this, or when I do make a finished copy of it for the record, it will have all the sacred names in it. For the Lord seeks to save, not to destroy. He delights in the rescue of sinners. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 33:11. By warnings and entreaties, he calls the wayward to cease from their evil doing and to turn to him and live. He gives his chosen messengers a holy boldness that those who hear may fear and be brought to repentance. How firmly the man of Elohim rebuked the king. And this firmness was essential. And no other way could the existing evils have been rebuked. Yahweh gave his servant boldness that an abiding impression might be made on those who heard. The messengers of Yahweh are never to fear the face of man, but are to stand unflinchingly for the right. So long as they put their trust in Yahweh, they need not fear. For he who gives of them their commission gives them also the assurance of his protecting care. Having delivered his message, the prophet was about to return when Jeroboam said unto him, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. If thou wilt give me half thine house, the prophet replied, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so it is charged me by the word of Yahweh saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the way which that thou camest. 1 Kings 13:7-9. Well would it have been for the prophet had he adhered to his purpose to return to Judea without delay. While traveling homeward by another route, he was overtaken by an aged man who claimed to be a prophet. Okay. And who made false representations. That doesn't mean that he's a false prophet just because he makes false representations. But it didn't say in the Bible that he made false representation. Okay. To the man of Yahweh declaring, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Again and again the lie was repeated, and the invitation urged until the man of Elohim was persuaded to return. Okay, because the true prophet allowed himself to be to take a course contrary to the line of duty. Elohim permitted him to suffer the penalty of transgression, while he and the one who had invited him to return to Bethel were sitting together at the table. The inspiration of the Almighty came upon the false prophet. Okay, now I guess if this is taken from Prophets and Kings, Ellen G. White is calling this here old prophet a false prophet herself. And that may be where Rose Johnson got the idea that he was a false prophet, because it's not written in 1 Kings 13 that he's a false prophet. But let's go ahead. And he cried unto the man of Elohim that came from Judah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Yahweh, and hast not kept the commandment which the Yahweh the Elohim commanded thee, thou carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. Verses 18 to 22. This prophecy of doom was soon literally fulfilled. For it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass, and behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. So he said the old prophet, didn't say where the old false prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of Yahweh, who was disobedient unto the word of the Yahweh. Verse 23 to 26. Observation. The false prophet was given the inspiration of the Almighty. Now here Brother Johnson is putting words now, that the false prophet was given the inspiration of the Almighty. Now, can you imagine that Yahweh would take a true prophet, starts out as a true prophet, and he give him a lying message to go give, and give him inspiration to deliver it? Well, I believe that's true. I believe that Yahweh did give that old prophet the inspiration to tell that lie to the prophet from Judah. But I don't believe he's a false prophet. I believe that Yahweh uses prophets, and he puts words in their mouth to test and try others to see if they would be truly Yahweh's command. And that's exactly what happened here. So it says a false prophet. I would say the old prophet from Bethel was given the inspiration. Instead of false prophet, it's the old prophet was given the inspiration of the Almighty to let the true prophet know that he had disobeyed Elohim. So now here is a false prophet telling a true prophet that he had disobeyed Elohim. So when it was an old true prophet from Bethel giving a message to go and deliver to the prophet from Judah, you don't have to put the word true on there. If you don't put the word false, you automatically know he's a true prophet. But see, the Brother Johnson trying to make a real distinction here, saying false prophet, true prophet. And he's trying to put that false prophet label on me and the true prophet label on him. And he's reversed the roles here. The old prophet, Brother Johnson, is 21 years older than me. He'd been in the message longer than I had. And I was recruited by Yahweh to go and join him, the older prophet at Gilead Center. So I was truly the prophet from Judah, sent to the Antiquical Prophet Willis Johnson at Bethel, which is where the 10 tribes are located in the Adventist Church. He represents the 10 tribes today. And Willis Johnson represented the angel of the candlestick of the Seventh-day Adventist Church over the 10 tribes. So Willis Johnson didn't have the candlestick of Judah. He had the candlestick of Laodicea. Now Judah was operating within the confines of that candlestick of Laodicea. They said the church of Laodicea. Didn't say the church of Judah. They said the angel of the Laodicea, meaning the Seventh-day Adventist church, because the candlestick for Judah is found in Zechariah 4. That tenth candlestick with the golden bowl on top of it, that's the one that belongs to Judah. And Judah didn't take control of that candlestick until the seventh candlestick was finished at Gilead Center with Willis W. Johnson as the angel of that candlestick, representing the Seventh-day Adventist church. But that candlestick in Zechariah 4 represents the house of David, the tribe of Judah. Okay. Now, that's the first time that we've gotten a light on that subject, but that's exactly the way it is. Okay, so it says, the false prophet was given the inspiration of the Almighty to let the true prophet know that he had disobeyed Elohim and his doom was to come, which it did shortly thereafter. Well, Yahweh told me that in the Antitype, that if I didn't believe Willis Johnson's lies, that I wouldn't have to die. But because Willis Johnson believed a lie and had been believing a lie from his wife ever since they'd been married, I guess, then Willis Johnson will have to die. And Willis Johnson has died, and the rest is history. The word of Yahweh came unto me. Let's continue. This is Willis Johnson talking. For the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying that Denton is playing the role of a lying prophet in the Antitype when he claims that Yahweh said to him to tell Brother Jay. So he's saying that when Yahweh told me to give Brother Jay Johnson this message from heaven, that I was lying when I said that Yahweh told me that. Because, and he says, number one, to move the Brother Denton was lying when he said, to move the web page to his house so he and Kay can run it, for Rodney is not qualified. Number two, that Daniel is not to bring any more magazines, newspapers, etc. into the church, for they are secular articles. But you know, this all came to pass. The web page was moved to Catherine, to my house. Willis Johnson transferred the whole kingdom and its operation to my house. And my wife did take over the webpage, and she's operating today for the kingdom, showing that this what I told him has come true. Everything that I told him has come true. To move the webpage to his house, and so he and Kay can run it, for Roddy is not qualified. Number two, Daniel is to bring no more any more magazine. Whether Daniel don't bring no more magazines ever, because he was cut off too. The church came to his end when we left out there. And so all of that dissolved. So Daniel no longer brings any magazines and newspapers into the kingdom tabernacle, the temple, because it's not there anymore, for one thing. And he no longer is a minister of the church. And if he is, it's out of his own home. Volume 6, page 355, Ellen G. White. Before the setting of the sun, let all secular work be laid aside, and all secular papers be put out of sight. Okay, now, Willis Johnson says, number 3, that I told him this, that Yahweh told me to tell him this, that Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Nikki, and Amy are core Dathans and Abiram and should be cast out of the church. Well, I don't remember saying that they should be cast out of the church. And I said that they should be taken out of their position, and they were to repent. And like Brother Johnson was asked to do, to repent, and take their place out there in the pews, and that they were to clean up their idolatrous acts. Okay. Because I know very well what Paul said there in the Corinthians, whenever they sent a report to him that there's fornication going on in the church at Corinth. He said, I've already judged this matter, and not being there in person, that you're to put this person out of the church, to preserve the spirit in the church, that you're to put him out of the church. But Sister Wright later on writes about it, and she said, but if he repents and stops his sinning, then readmit him as a member in the church. And that's all I was saying about Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Nikki, Amy, or Court, Nathan, and Brian, and should be cast out. I said, no, they should lose their position, and they should make confession and repent and turn away from doing these things. Okay, number four, that Yahweh speaks to him just like he does to Brother J. Well, that's just an outright added lie of Brother Johnson. I didn't have to make the point that Yahweh speaks to me just like he does you, because I wasn't contending for Brother Johnson's office. I had never gone to Brother Johnson in 32 years and said, you know, Brother Johnson, Yahweh speaks to me just like he does to you. And I have gone to him and said, Brother Johnson, I got a message from Yahweh today, and he tell me to deliver this to you. And I've gone to him many times and told him that. But I never went to him and said, Yahweh speaks to me just like he does to you. That was obvious. If I was claiming that I had a message from Yahweh, then that should have been obvious without me even having to say it. And I didn't have to say it. It was obvious. Because if the things that I told him were true and they came out the way I told him, then he should conclude that I did get my message from heaven. And everything I told him over the years, everything I came to him, when I told him, Yahweh gave me this message, he gave this to me to give you, every one of it came out to be true. That's why Alan came with it. He said, all your prophecies against the church, all those years, it came out exactly the way you prophesied. That's why he came with me. And now Alan is saying that Brother Johnson published the truth, and I don't publish the truth. You see what happens whenever you defy the Holy Spirit and grieve away the Holy Spirit by not putting away your sin. Sister Wright says the practice of sin, and I'll put it in my words, anesthetizes the soul. It puts the soul to sleep. It destroys the soul when you don't put away the practice of sin. It will gradually harden your soul, it says. Alright. Number five, that we had better obey his counsel, for they are from the Yahweh. On and on. Except that was all made up of us, W. Johnson. I didn't command him that you better obey my counsel. I told him that this message is from heaven, and I gave it to him, and I told him the last thing I told him, don't bring any more vain oblations to the house of Yahweh. And that's found in Isaiah chapter 1, about verse 18-19, I believe. And it says, I told him that, and that was the last thing I told him. And I just told him that this message was from heaven. Okay, he says, number 5, that we had better obey his counsel, they are from the Lord, and on and on. The straw that broke the camel's back was dead in response to my wife, Laura May, as she joined in the conversation. During the afternoon meeting, he interrupted her and said, shut up, woman. You have no right to speak in church. You could see that the man was totally out of place and out of order, and that he had lost his cool and his Christian demeanor. Now, here's exactly what happened. I was telling her that she was telling me that they thought they were having the trials of Job. I said, no, Job was a righteous man. She said, well, if Brother Johnson, Brother Jay, needs a message, Yahweh will give it to him straight to Brother Jay. He don't need no debt and drunken. Don't need no Benton Burns to deliver a message to Brother Jay. He already do it just like he's always done in the past. He'll bring a message right straight to Brother Jay and give it to him. And I turned to her and I said, wrong. Wrong, Lame. You're wrong. And that's what Brother Johnson was telling me, that I told her to shut up and you have no right speaking, sir. You can see that the man was totally out of place and out of order. I had a totally calm demeanor. But when she told me that Rodas would get his message from Yahweh, that Yahweh don't need you to deliver a message. Well, who is she to tell Yahweh how to run his business? She was telling Yahweh, you don't need Denton to deliver a message to Rodas. Well, see, and so he said you could see that the man was totally out of place and out of order, that he had lost his cool and his Christian to me. Besides, he had no authority to do what he did. The word of Yahweh came unto me again, saying that concerning the change of the guards, with an S on guards, and I told him it was nothing but a changing of the guard from one leadership to another, a singular person. This happens when the guards fail to protect the king, his family, his government, his nation, his kingdom, and that the guilty ones were court-martialed. Now here Brother Johnson is putting the guards as somebody that stands a sentry post outside of the door. But the guard that I was talking about was a prophet that was placed over the candlestick. And he knew very well what I was talking about when Yahweh told me there's going to be a changing of the guard, leadership of the church, not putting a soldier outside of your door to protect you inside and your family and everybody. So he just makes up all this stuff. Yahweh went on to say that since Denton has failed to protect your family from criticism, backbiting, condemnation, being judged, evil speaking, blaming, cruel words, accusation, character assassination, and so forth. Okay. So it says that, see Matthew 7:1-5 and Matthew 12:37. Matthew 7:1. You know, I'd like to make comment on that. You know, all through the years, Brother Johnson had these here false people come along. I'm not calling them prophets, but they claimed to have a message for brothers. And one man in particular that I brought into the church, Randy Hartlett, he decided Brother Johnson was a false prophet. And so he wrote up a piece of paper and put a lot of questions on it, Bible verses on it, and he passed them out to every member of the church. He wanted to get them behind him to get Brother Johnson kicked out and of the church. And he came to me, and he was my best friend at the time, too. He's a man I brought into the church. We run around together all over several states of the United States. We went all over together on missionary work for the church. And he came to me and he said, now, I'm going to have you as my number one backer on this. He said, if I don't get your endorsement, then we can't get rid of Brother Johnson. We can't kick him out. And I told Randy Hartright, I said, that is not your job. I said, besides, the accusation you're making against Brother Johnson is false. And so I can't back it up. And I went to Brother Johnson, and I told him what happened. And Brother Johnson ended up kicking Randy Hartright and his wife out of the church over this, and barring them from coming to church because of what I did. And when Brother Johnson gave Randy Hartright the discharge notice, he locked the door and would let Randy Hartright come in, and he spoke through the door. And I was standing right there with Brother W. Johnson, backing Brother Johnson up when he went and told Randy Hartright he was no longer a member of this church. He was discharging him for insubordination and trying to incite false claims to get him thrown out of his office. And there I was, backing Brother Johnson all the way up. Now, does that sound like Does that sound like a Denton drunken that Brother Johnson just described here? He said, since Denton has failed to protect your family from criticism, backbiting, condemnation, being judged, evil speaking, blaming, cruel words, accusations, character assassination, etc., I defended him. And when Alan wrote a letter to Brother Johnson, contested him on that about 15 questions that Brother Johnson, an answer thing where he showed that he was a prophet, priest, and king, and his commission was a prophet, priest, and king, and Alan wrote him a paper on that and wanted him to prove it. And I went to Brother, and I said, Brother Johnson, even though I brought Alan to the church, I said, we work together. I said, I'm going to have to do more study on this and investigate both sides, which I've been out of town. I didn't know this was going on. But I said, I told Alan that I was on your side in this thing until I further studied it out. And so I went and told Brother Johnson that. Here, Alan. But it turned out that Alan had a true gripe. And Alan's, he was right, and Brother Johnson was wrong. But I didn't go and tell Brother Johnson that I had aligned myself. I said, I'm aligning with you against Alan. And then I told Brother Johnson again what Alan had said about it. And I said, Brother Johnson said, well, I'm just going to kick him out of the church for that. And Laura Mays, I said, no, don't do that. You better think that over. Because he's our number one tithe payer. We don't want to kick him out of the church. So just let it go. So every time people would speak against Brother Johnson, I'd go and tell him. And two main men that I brought into the church, Randy Hartright and Alan Long, both of them, got up against Brother W. Johnson. And Alan wrote this paper showing that Brother Johnson was making false claims. And then he comes and tells me here just this last few months ago, I'm leaving, in other words, I'm quitting you because Brother Johnson published the truth and you don't publish the truth. And Alan said the same thing about Brother when he was bringing accusations against him as he did against me. Alan was saying the same, and I got that in writing, and I'm fixing to read you some of that in my next study, what Alan said against Verlis in letters that he wrote to Verlis, accusing him of taking false claims and quoting Jonah on him, of taking flattering titles just like he quoted on me. So this is nothing new with Alan. He did it with Verlis, he's done it with me, and now he's gone. Okay. So he says, in Matthew 7:1, it says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. This is me talking now, quoting the Bible. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Okay, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. But you know, back to that, that Brother Johnson saying my three divine commissions, and callings. And Alan wrote an answer to it, showing where Brother Johnson was making false claims. And Alan came and asked me what I thought about it. And I said, you know, I can't comment on it because I haven't seen Brother Johnson's paper on that. I've just been out of town. They said, well, you need to go read it. And then you need to read my answer. So I went and read Brother Johnson. But first I went to Brother Johnson and told him what Alan had done. And I said, Royce, I haven't even read your paper, and I haven't read Alan's. He just told me what he had done and what you had done. I said, I'll have to go study it first before I can make a determination. And when I went and studied, I agreed with Alan. But I stand upon the truth. I don't care who's publishing it. Randy Hartright, my best friend, he was wrong, the paper he published. And I took Randy Hartright to the scriptures, and I showed him where he was wrong. And he still persisted that he was right. And when I said, I'm going to stand with Brother Johnson against this paper, he said, well, I thought you was my best friend. But he says, now you've turned to be my enemy. Okay. So he says right here, and note, if Sister Johnson was always telling the truth, then these scriptures don't apply to her. But if the opposite occurred, then they do affect her directly. This is me talking. Since Brother Johnson did not face her on these issues that allowed her to continue in these practices without apparently any changes, at least seen visibly over the years, then it must be that he condoned her continual practices along these lines of the fabrication. While it is his responsibility to protect his wife, which is given to him by the Elohim, to do just that, remember that one sin, Achan's, caused the defeat of the Israelites, and sin allowed to go unchecked in the camp of the Yahweh's people today will cause the same result. On the other hand, as we look at the kings of Israel, and mainly Judah, we see that obedience to Yahweh's clear and direct commands brought healing, prosperity, and victories, as well as respect from the fear of the Yahweh on their enemies. This is Yahweh's desire for his people today, and that is for them to accept his plain and direct communication with them so that they will willingly respond to him and his way, since his way brings life, joy, and happiness. He is the only true El for the past 33 and one half years that I am to do. Now this is Rollis W. Johnson talking. He said, for the past 33 and one half years that I am to do what the rule law calls for, and that is the court martial Denton, him. Since we are dealing with the changing of the guards, plural, S, on the guard. In other words, we're dealing with the sentries, that's the soldier that stands outside the door with a gun, and he protects all the people inside, which is done through a military court. Now notice Brother Johnson now is resorting to a military court, a civil court of the land. He's going to use the military court to court-martial me. That's admiralty law. That's the law of the sea. That's the civil war law. That's martial law. When you court-martial somebody, it's because you're operating under martial law and not the Constitution of the Bible, or the theocratic government of the Bible, or the Constitution of the United States. You're operating under a uniform code of military justice, which only requires three judges to rule on a verdict. And if two out of the three rules against you, then you're sunk. Okay, so now that's what Rollis Johnson is going to do. He's going to court-martial me. And everybody in the church knows it but me and my wife. And maybe Alan DeLong, I don't know. Rule of law is the escape clause. This is me talking. The judges in this land used to overrule juries to enable them to form their own assumptions, presumptions, and opinion. Verb fiction, which is patterned after the parliamentary law, a monarch, king, rule, dictator, originating in England. Maritime law of the sea, admiralty, under the gold-fringed flag, which represents no constitution or nation. This is contrary to the law of Moses. Brother Johnson's conduct is reprehensible. Sabbath, July 27, 2002. Sabbath sermon, change of the guards, Denton's court martial. Okay, we're getting close to the end of our study, but I'm going to go ahead and... The question, is Brother Johnson qualified to conduct a court martial? This is Denton Brunken talking now. Is he following proper procedure? For the record will show that he was following military procedure, which is contrary to the law of Moses. The law in which our whole movement was founded on, the very first sentence out of Brother Johnson's mouth was wrong. Realizing what was happening, I interrupted him and said, Brother Johnson, if you're going to quote what I said, let me do it. I am the most qualified to do that. You are only going to tell part of what I said. It is evident that you are putting your own spin to it, using military procedure in order to get the job done. Okay, a few weeks ago, and here's Brother Johnson talking again. A few weeks ago, I began hearing from Denton Brunner that Yahweh had told him that there would be a changing of the guards. No, I said there would be a change of the guards starting at the Passover and culminating at the Psalm 72,002. So I asked him the meaning of the phrase, whom it was and what it was, and but received no answer. No, he didn't ask me, and I didn't tell him. I just told Yahweh told me there's going to be a change of guard, and I didn't have any more comment to make. I just turned and left. Denton's comment, I did give him an answer, not once but twice on two different occasions in less than a year. He agreed with my answer. But if he asked me any questions about who it was, I gave him one answer, and that was the same answer I gave him the second time, that I don't see anything in prophecy that says that there's anybody to take your place at this time. That you, as far as I'm concerned, you're the last prophet until the 144,000 comes forth. That's the answer I gave him both times. The answer, the removal of Joshua's filthy garments. So, and I told him the real answer. And here's what I told him on that day he was coming back from Barstow. Said the answer, the removal of Joshua's filthy garments, which just what it says is the sins of the people, Zechariah 3, and that's what I told Brother. Brother Johnson answered that is true. That is why you have a high priest over the house of Yahweh, what Brother Johnson told me, riding down the highway to bear the sins of the people. And he said, that's the high priest's job, and that's what I'm to do. And also I said that including removal of the ones that were holding responsible positions in the church and don't give up their idols, then they would be removed. After all, if Yahweh can't get them to give up their idols, then he has to remove them. And Brother Johnson agreed. I said, someone else would take their place, constituting the change of the guard, constituting the changing of the guard, singular, guard one, and that is going to take at the top coming, that's going to take it at the upcoming atonement of this year. Brother Johnson could not continue on with the court martial, so he said to the congregation, I'm stopping this right now. You won't get the message Elohim has for you today, which is comparable to a court martial of Elohim's kingdom. Take a look at this as Yahweh's method, initially military court, and in addition to this normal, even earthly course. Okay, we're going to put that on hold. This brings the close of our study this hour contest at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Sweet by and by, there's a love that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To a bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love. the blessings and hallow her day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.